the team sitting in the stands. Come see what's brewing. Come see what the good times are.
Come see what the Brewers are doing. Come on and cheer a superstar.
Big game for the Brew Crew today down at Wrigley Field. Cubs hosting the Brewers in Game 3 of the NLDS.
You guys like this song? Feels like a bad Toyota commercial.
All right, get the bleep out.
What a feeling to drive.
It's
Toyota.
Fine. I'm not sure we could do anything better. It's fine.
Gabe, it's fine.
You guys are the worst.
It's fine.
You guys are the worst. The absolute worst.
No, what's the worst? It's just, it's fine. I'm not saying it's like...
It's a fantastic
bad.
Song.
I think that might be your nostalgia speaking, bud.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic song, and I stand by it. And if you don't think it's a fantastic song, you need to get the bleep out.
I don't think so.
I will point out that we have dedicated a whole day to Huey Lewis on this program. I don't know if we have the best music taste as a collective.
I don't know.
We get a lot of positive feedback on the Huey Lewis on
You still
Tuesday.
Listen to Creed regularly.
They're back.
He stuck with them long enough that it went full circle and we're right back where we started.
Joshy, it ain't no Steely Dan, I could tell you that.
What do you mean they're back? What do you mean Creed's back? Did they go somewhere? Were they canceled? Were they ostracized? And then all of a sudden it was like, all right, we're welcoming you back with arms wide open. Is that what happened?
My brother-in-law, who you guys know is in the biz, said Creed,
Scott Stapp.
I was close. I'm not doing real good with names.
You're right
today.
On it.
Really bad. He said he was playing at like... small theaters.
Ooh, I don't know if that means they're back.
They're back to selling out big arenas.
Oh, really?
They have become ironically popular again.
Huh.
Is that because of the 49ers?
What?
What's the 49ers connection? I don't know this.
Whoever was walking out with the boombox on their shoulder was playing Creed.
You sure you didn't get tricked on that? Because I usually listen to rap music on that.
No. Something had to do with the NFL where they were responsible for bringing Creed back. Gabe's on it, Gabe.
No, I'm just looking at the Creed tour schedule and where they're playing. Yeah, it looks like they're playing some like more mid-sized arenas.
Yeah.
I don't think they're playing big arenas.
I'm sick of the bashing of Creed, and I'm sick of the bashing of Nickelback. What the hell is wrong with Nickelback? Why do people not like Nickelback?
Because they're not
Nickelback
good.
Was an outstanding band.
I don't know, Chew. Why do people not like John Michaels? You know, why were they down on who else? Another draft pick bust for the Packers. It's just not good. Just not good.
So the only thing I can come up with on your NFL / Creed or your NFL Creed collab is that there are people who wanted Creed to play the Super Bowl halftime show.
Okay.
So there was some speculation from some conservative circles, I'm just reading here, over the NFL's decision to select Bad Bunny, and instead they would prefer Creed perform. Maybe that's what you've seen.
They've got enough hits.
Do they? They got like
relevant.
Three. They got like three.
Really?
Although,
no, they
again,
got more than that. I have them on my Apple Music.
That you probably can't access. They're there. I don't know how to get to them, but they're there.
Again, sometimes knowing who you are when you tour, I have heard rumors of a show that Montel Jordan once did at Summerfest, where he literally just played "This Is How We Do It" for an hour.
Over and over again.
Yeah. It was just a long, elongated version of, hey, give the people what they want.
Yeah.
This is the song people know.
Play the hits.
We are going to play
in your
this.
Case,
yeah.
For hit.
Yes, this is what
because
we're doing.
The people that buy Super Bowl tickets are probably around my age. I guarantee 90% of them don't know who the hell Bad Bunny is. I've never heard of the flipping guy.
Oh, my goodness.
Huh? Bad Bunny?
It's barely people like you going to the Super Bowl, Chew. Now it's mostly corporate, you know, people who are affiliated with sponsors and they fill up the suite. And then like, I don't know an average person that like goes to the Super Bowl.
No.
That's correct.
I agree.
Yeah, they
that's
don't.
Correct. Yeah. Closest thing I know is like Greg Scalzo, who is our general manager here, our market manager here at GKB Milwaukee, him and Tausch go, but they go with AmFam. Like AmFam is now, the one, like the corporation's the one that gets them in, and they've got their great relationship with our partners at American Family Insurance.
See, now I have access to two tickets every year. Every year. But I'm the one that has to go to Will Call to pick them up.
So guess what's not happening?
I forget about it. Yeah.
Unless wait, how did you work that deal? Is that a former player thing?
I don't know if it's because I played in Super Bowls or every vested player has the opportunity to do that. I'm not sure which one it is, and I really don't care because I'm never going to.
Well, but okay, how much would I have to pay you if the Packers made the Super Bowl this year to use those tickets and you and I could go?
Oh, there's that money. I could care less.
All right, so what I got to hope for. So here's what I got to hope for, Jen. Here's what I got to hope for.
Here's what you got to hope for, Gabe.
Is Tampa hosting anytime soon? Because if Tampa hosts the Super Bowl, I might be able to convince him to come to the Will Call window to just pick up the tickets, and then he can bounce.
Gabe, they would have to play at Kettle Moraine High, which from my house is about a mile away, and then maybe I'd think about it.
I don't know.
Okay.
Playing the Super Bowl in Blammer's in his cornfield.
Yes.
From what I know about the dynamic over there in Mr. Chimura's household, you're negotiating with the wrong Chimura. Okay.
Yeah. Fair. Very fair.
I mean, she does want him to get out of the house and do stuff from
time to
time.
Sure, but again, I'm sure that there's a price that you could put on it that she would force him to go get the tickets.
That's
you
fair.
Know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah. Okay.
We could make this work. We could think about it. Brewers playing the Cubs today. Brewers have a 2-0 lead in the series. Yesterday, we mentioned the S word, the sweep word. Gabe, you weren't here for that. How do you feel about, I want him to sweep. It would go back to the whole, like, step on the throat thing, show your dominance. You've been the best team in baseball all year long. I know it doesn't work out this way that often, but the message you would send in this heated rivalry, if you sweep the Cubs out of the postseason, would be sweet.
Yeah, and I don't want to give the Cubs any hope. I don't want to give them any hope. Because the Cubs win today, they go, oh, well, if we win tomorrow, and then they start stringing together that
it's
idea
one
of
game,
hope. Yes.
You know,
we win tomorrow, and then, you know, all bets are off in game five. So I don't even give them any hope. Just absolutely squash them, get them, and here's the thing. I think if you jump on this team early today, if the Brewers do what they've done the last two games and jump on them early, score some runs early, I think the Cubs are going to wave the white flag. It's going to be 1-2-3 Cancun pretty quick. Like, okay, here we go again. Brewers scoring runs early. All right, let's just get this over with type of thing. I think that can happen if the Brewers jump on them early and score runs the way they did in games 1 and 2.
Quinn Priester will be on the hill for the Brewers, 13-3 record for him, 3.32 ERA. Joshy, do you have any hesitation using the S word here?
Nah, I'm not scared. People
That's
who
not
go
the word.
Teams who go up 2-0 in 5-game series win like 90% of the time. To me, it's clearly evident the Brewers have advantages pretty much across the board. Manager, Pat Murphy has outmanaged Craig Counsell. That's been evident. The offense has been better than the Cubs' offense, and pitching for the Brewers is just clearly better. If you get into the Brewers' bullpen early, even if you get to Quinn Priester, you better hold off that offense because that bullpen's going to give them a hell of a time. And the Brewers were really, really comfortable with the amount of guys they have and deploying them at specific matchups. I think you got to go for it. I think it's pull out all the stops, sort of how Jeff Levering mentioned. Treat it like a game 7. You've got enough off time. Why hold anything back? Finish it. Get them out of here.
Bullpen's fully rested. I mean, the only person who's probably,
is the Miz, probably, yeah.
Is probably Miz.
Yeah.
Because Ashby bounces back nicely, and it's not like he threw that many innings. He had the off day.
And the Miz is a starter by trade, so putting him back that quickly.
Yeah, because he's not going to be used to bouncing back.
Players are not stupid, too. The Cubs know that the Brewers are better than them, and they know they have an uphill challenge. In 98, when we were playing in San Francisco, even us as a team, we were beat up. Dorsey was hurt. We knew the chances of us going to a Super Bowl were slim to none. We got destroyed by Minnesota already twice that year. We would have had gone to Atlanta. And, you know, even the way we lost that game in San Francisco with T.O., we're like, Well, we probably weren't going to win the next two games anyways.
Yeah, but you guys, but your team.
Players are human.
But your team is the reason why we have replay back in the NFL. So thank you, Chew.
Yeah.
Also, we could say a lot of positive about Craig Counsell. He revitalized the Brewers, brought them to where they are. But has he ever struck you as the guy to rally a team back from behind? When they're behind the eight ball, does he feel like the guy who's going to motivate that room, those players, to mount a three-game comeback?
No.
Doesn't really feel like it.
I don't think I can really remember much. It felt like the Brewers, whenever they get down and out when he was here, they kind of just, like you said, waved the white flag.
Yeah.
Said, hey, not our day. Maybe it's not
our
season.
Yeah, not our series. We're just not good enough. Things like that.
My Rolodex isn't detailed enough, to be perfectly honest with you, to be able to reference whether or not that statement is true or not. So I sort of have to go, oh, I agree with you guys by default. I don't have enough information to be like, well, when the Brewers were down in this situation, they'd, you know, waved the white flag. But you're talking about the difference in the personalities between Craig Counsell and Pat Murphy, which I think are very evident, mm-hmm. right? Just the way they sort of carry themselves, the way they sort of interact. And look, Craig was always seen as a player's manager, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, he has his guys back, but you're talking about from a backs against the wall, how are we going to approach this type of thing? You can't picture him giving a rousing speech, a motivational speech. Chewy, but I mean, we've talked about this. How much do athletes even need that at this level?
Nah, they really don't. And some coaches are okay at Holmgren. He was terrible. You know, so you just tune out.
Did he think he was good, though?
Yeah, he thought he was classy or folk. The dumbest thing, and I probably told you guys this, but it was so stupid. The night before the Super Bowl in New Orleans, right? So we go into our final team meeting on Saturday before the game, and there's this pile of something underneath a table with a cloth over the top of it. And we're like, what the hell is that? And he gets into his speech, and he finally goes, if we win, he rips the sheet off, we got this. And it was $120,000 in ones. And everyone was like, yay. It would have been better if he had, like, what, that was 31, 30 Super Bowl rings. Somehow he got them lined up. I think that would have been cooler. Was that dumb, or is it me?
If he had things that didn't exist?
Well, no. I mean,
what you're saying, previous Super Bowl rings.
Previous, yeah.
He had collected the Super Bowl rings from the team that had won it the year before.
Yeah.
The thing to do there would have been get one of the old Lombardis, right? Because those were in the team museum. They've got replicas of them. Get one of the first two Lombardi trophies and put that underneath the cloth.
It sounds like he thought the money would motivate the guys more than the trophy, right?
I think that says more about you guys as a team, too.
From what you've told me, it seems like that would be as good of a incentive as anything.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, was it?
I mean, $120,000 in 1996. Pretty good amount of money.
$120,000 right in 2025. Is a lot of money.
I don't know. I just didn't think it was that great a speech. But I'm trying to think of coaches. Coughlin was okay at BC, but we sucked. So what do you do? You know he's lying to us because we're going to get our doors blown off.
You think Murphy's still doing the thing, though, where he's just like knocking guys down? You know, yeah. You think he's still doing the thing where he's talking about how, you know, you're just a game away from being back in the minors, or, you know, Sal Frelick, you better get your grad degree because I don't know if you're going to be long for this game at your height, your size, and all the other things that Murph does to try to motivate his guys to keep him humble.
Did Contreras get a check mark for doing the phone thing? See, to me, that's check mark worthy.
I mean, but he wasn't doing that to Craig Counsell. He was doing it for the fans.
Yeah, but based on Murph's scale, who's a tough grader.
You didn't believe that explanation?
No.
Even though that was the one answer he gave in English during his press conference, Joshy, you did not buy.
That was straight up CYA is what that was.
You did not buy.
Not for a split second, Gabe.
What?
Yeah.
That's
sorry.
I can't. I thought it was believable.
Well, hold on. Do you think it deserved a check mark?
Yes. That's a little self-raised thing, PU.
Yes. But I would wear that check mark proudly. Yeah. Like that's one you absolutely own.
Wait, we asked everybody yesterday when you weren't on the show, what was the best moment? What was the best moment from game two? We had a lot of them. Holy moly, tons of candidates.
Best moment from game two, probably the Churio three-run home run because you got PCA acting like a dip bleep on top of it, thinking he could like leap and jump for it, and then he just like banged against the wall and fell down. Like,
yeah, like, that was close.
Yeah, like you were really close. It was only 30 yeah. feet
now,
above
again,
your head.
I was at the game, so I only saw it after the fact. When did he throw his bat and throw his helmet? They must have shown that on the broadcast. He was doing it in the dugout.
That was the last time he struck out. So what was that, the eighth or ninth, whenever it was? The last time he struck out.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
What do you think the crowd's going to be like today? You think it'll be a Brewers invasion? I mean, I would think a lot of Chicago people are probably selling tickets.
Let's go ahead and take a look at some.
I can't imagine Cubs fans are selling their tickets to Brewers fans. I can't imagine. I think that place will be heavy, heavy, heavy Cubs fans. Maybe if some Brewers fans sneak in there. Gabe's looking at the tickets right now. What are you going to Vivid Seats?
Yeah, going to Vivid Seats, trying to figure it out. All right. I mean, Giddens not bad right now. Get in for $130.
Where are you sitting?
You would think, yeah. Where do you think you would be sitting there? Yeah, so you'd be sitting in the upper. I mean, you can get into the second deck for $150. You can get down. Yeah, that's going to be a little more expensive to sit in the 100s. There's one at 250 down in the field box area.
Just the one, though? You got to go by yourself?
No, they have two tickets.
Okay.
If what I've seen take place on the internet from Cubs fans, there's a lot of resignation and a lot of, we're not good enough, we should be better, why are the Brewers better than us, why are
really?
We getting outclassed?
Because I've seen a ton of it, and again, I think this just depends on what your algorithm is. I've seen a ton of, the Brewers are obviously cheating, there's no way that they could be beating us legitimately, this team. And then I've seen a lot of hate, like, I hate the Brewers. And then, of course, Mizorowski was catching some of it because of the way he responded yesterday, or 2 days ago, to the strikeout or to the inning that he closed. I mean, how can you hate the Brewers?
Because they're whooping your ass.
Yeah.
But there's nothing unlikable about this team.
Well, you say that as somebody rooting for them. If they're kicking your ass, I can understand how it would be annoying.
Yeah, imagine Jacob Mizorowski's celebration as your team is watching their season boil away.
I still see him. I still see him as
the
a nice kid.
The Pokemon dork did that.
I do love that was something I saw on Instagram. It was like, you actually are hating this guy, and he's holding up the card with that bleep-eating grin because he pulled the...
They got no one to blame but themselves for how that... After Miz sprinted to first base... And as it was very obvious in the moment, and he admitted this afterwards, he did not want to throw that ball into the second deck. Bunt. Make him field his position. He doesn't want to throw the ball to first base. Cubs had no interest. No interest in trying to force him into doing something that he was clearly uncomfortable with. Instead, just wanted to wave and miss at 104
over
and over
again. But I also appreciate that he recognized what the reality of that moment was, guys. He recognized that his body was ramping up, you know, whatever.
Oh, no, it made me nervous because now I'm thinking, okay, the Cubs are going to bunt and he's not going to be able to just sprint to first base with the ball every time. But again, he did what he had to do to get his
all
ice.
I'm saying is,
that's all you got to do.
How can you hate the Brewers? They're it's a bunch of like plucky underdogs. Mm-hmm. You know, we just talked about Sal Frelick, who, by the way, I didn't realize played football and baseball and hockey in high school. He was like all state in all three, wanted to play football in college, but ultimately ended up deciding to play baseball because the baseball coach wouldn't let him play both. I think that was at your spot, wasn't it? Didn't he go to BC?
He went to BC, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a BC guy.
Yeah, I think Adazio, Steve Adazio.
I tried
Adazio
to play hockey.
Wanted him on the team.
You're too big. I can't see you on skates.
Anyway, the point I'm making is, it seems like all
backwards
of these guys.
From my understanding, again, I never played hockey, so I don't know. From my understanding, skating backwards
is a big part of the game. Yeah,
it's crucial.
You need that skill,
like being
especially.
Like, I'm not good
especially
at
as a defenseman.
Anyway,
my
Chewy is a forward.
My point
is, Luis Mendoza in
how
G2.
How could you hate these guys?
I can't believe you're having a hard time gathering it. It's the Cubs fans. They think they have the gift from the gods to be better than everyone else. So when the plucky underdog dominates you, you get mad.
But they're still the underdog. Like, yeah, it's like hating little giants. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
guess who hated the little giants? The Cowboy team that was playing them.
Al Bundy. I don't even know what his character's name was, but Ed O'Neill. All right, we got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Lots of stuff to get to today. We will chat with Adam Schefter about this weekend's game. Who the heck is going to be under center for the Packers' opponent this weekend? We will talk about that. And obviously, Brewers in action today. We'll keep breaking down that game as the morning goes on. Stick around.
Looking for a newer, nicer used vehicle? The Ewald Automotive Group can help increase your purchase power. During their used car rate reduction sales event, shop 600 quality pre-owned vehicles with no money down and no payments until 2026. Interest rates are coming down, so let them try to improve your situation today. It costs nothing other than a few minutes of your time to check them out. So go to ewaldauto.com for locations, inventory, and more. You'll be glad you did. It's always easy with Ewald Automotive and ewaldauto.com.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And he was the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And Joshy's biggest fan.
It's nice to see Josh at the big boy table. Thank you, everybody. Keep up the good work, Josh.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino. Gaming, casual, and fine dining. Two golf courses, a luxury spa, and live entertainment. Your total experience is at the Island. Also brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. First Weber Real Estate Services. The real estate MVPs of Wisconsin. Get started today at WendorfTeam.FirstWeber.com.
Always great to check in with our friend and buddy, Adam Schefter. Good morning, Adam. I had to clear my throat there before I got to you. That's why I was like, well.
Good morning, Gabe and Chewy. What's going on?
We are good. So this Joe Flacco thing is fascinating from a Packers perspective because, well, they just saw him. And now it seems like the likely situation is they're going to see him again. Have you ever heard of anything like this? Have you ever seen this before?
That a team would play somebody twice in 2 weeks or whatever it is?
Correct.
Well, probably in division games at the end of the season when the NFL schedules opponents in weeks, say, 15 and 17 or 13 and 16 or something like that. But you don't see it where it's the result of a trade. That doesn't happen often. That's the rarity. It'll be Joe Flacco with different personnel and a different uniform. But, yeah, I mean, we see... You know, we see teams play twice in 3 weeks, right? We've seen that in the NFL.
Adam, is the gap between the best team in the league and, say, the 15th best team in the league not very wide? That's what it seems like. It seems like this year there's really no dominant teams. And the first 15 really aren't that bad.
Well, I think that
based
there's
on your guys' power rankings, which I consider gospel, yeah.
Yo, power rankings are so critical at this time of year. The funny thing about power rankings is they always garner a lot of attention and interest, but that they mean there's nothing that means less that generates more conversation. Like it is unbelievable. You know, people get so worked up about those kinds of things. People, let me let you know a little secret. Power rankings are meaningless, okay? But from a standpoint where we're going to break down the conferences, I think, like, if you look at the NFC, to me, there's about five really good teams. And then there's a few others that are on the periphery right there. But you could look at the NFC and say, like, eight good teams. The AFC, to me, has one team that stands above the others, and then there's like three or four below that. I think the NFC has become more top-heavy this year than the AFC, which is interesting because in other years, it was always the AFC with Josh Allen and the Bills and Lamar Jackson and the Ravens and Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, and the AFC had the best quarterbacks, and so they had the best teams. But this year, it feels like in the NFC, it's Detroit, it's Green Bay, it's Philly, it's Tampa, it's the Rams. You know, like they're, and then on the outside, you still have Washington, really good. San Francisco, really good. Like there are a lot of good teams in the NFC, a lot. And you can make a case for a lot of them representing that conference in the Super Bowl.
Adam, going back to Joe Flacco, I mean, what are they going to have to do to their offense in terms of simplifying it if they expect him to be the starter? They trade for him yesterday. He's going to have 3 days basically to prepare for the Packers. Do you think it's realistic that he, A, is going to be the starter, and then, B, how do they make that happen?
Well, I think it is realistic that he'll be the starter. I think that you don't make that move with the idea that, I mean, I think as long as he shows that he can pick up enough, he'll be the starter, right? Like, if they go into the week and it's not coming, then you go Jake Browning another week. But I think they make the trade wanting and hoping that Joe Flacco can be the starter. Like, you don't make that move and say the things you said this week and then go start Jake Browning again. And by the way, even if it is Jake Browning starting, it wouldn't shock me if he played. And then if he's not playing well, then all of a sudden they go to Flacco. Like, I think one way or another we're going to see Joe Flacco on Sunday, whether he's starting or whether he's relieving. Like, I think we're going to see Joe Flacco on Sunday.
And the stat that I was thinking of earlier, I just was able to find it. If the Bengals win with Flacco starting, he will be the first quarterback since 1962 to beat the same team twice in a season while playing for two different teams. Adam, any idea what the trivia answer is to the only other person? 1962.
Okay, who was it?
Jack Kemp. Beat the New York Titans, now known as the Jets, as a member of the Chargers and then the Bills. How about that for a good little trivia nugget this morning, huh?
Jack Kemp was the Chargers quarterback, and he beat the Titans. How did he beat the Titans and the Bills? Was he traded that year, Jen?
Yeah, it doesn't say in this article, but he beat both the... He was a member of the Chargers and a member of the Bills, and he beat the New York Titans, which is now the Jets. Similarly, if Flacco beats the Packers this weekend, he will have beaten them with both the Browns and the Bengals.
Yeah. Okay, that's pretty interesting. That's pretty good that you got that so quickly.
Good little trivia nugget from Cleveland.com, if anybody wants to source that information. You know, we were looking around the league this week, Adam, and looking and saying, wow, there's no undefeated teams left. Who is the team you think that is underperforming now but will be there at the end? Is it the Eagles? Is the Eagles the team that, like, they're the defending champs, everybody thinks they're a good team, seem to be trying to figure out who they are, which is weird because the roster isn't that vastly different from what they were last year. Who's the team that you think will be in the playoffs but is underperforming right now?
I'm still not ready to write off Baltimore, which sounds crazy. But
really?
I think if they could get your guys back, like in that division, I think we all would agree. We're not counting on Cleveland coming back. We're not counting on Cincinnati coming back, correct?
Nope.
So now we're down to two teams, Baltimore, Pittsburgh. Are you confident that Pittsburgh's just going to run away from Baltimore and create that? No. And so, like, I think Baltimore's playing terrible football. The defense has been awful. After the bye, if not this week, I don't think this week, but after the bye, then Lamar Jackson will come back. And if you got Lamar Jackson over the final 11 games of the season, I'll take my chances with Lamar Jackson, my quarterback. You know, like, they got a lot of things to fix, but like if that team finished 7-10, that would be surprising and disappointing. But they're tracking to do that right now. I just think at some point in time, some of these healthy bodies will return. Lamar will be back. They'll start playing better football, and they'll win some games. But maybe I'm just putting too much faith in the Ravens based on past history.
Adam, you've covered the league.
Adam, a lot of fines this week. Go ahead, Jay Gabe. Adam, a lot of fines this week in the NFL. Gannon in Arizona. Jerry Jones. Were they all warranted? I mean... Gannon, come on. I used to get smacked around worse than that. What's the league? The league goody two shoes here? I mean, some of these fans deserve to be flipped off of as obnoxious as they are. I mean, 250 for the bird seems a little steep.
Well, here's what I would say. But I remember what was David Tepper got into a fight with a fan in Jacksonville at one point. He got, like, he spilled a drink on them or something like that. I think the league basically wants its owners to act a certain way. They don't want negative attention. And so, you know, you find Jerry Jones $250. $250 for anybody, I don't care how many billions you have, is still $250, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not cheap. And the Jonathan Gannon one, that's the one that I think arouses a lot of debate. And yeah, there were a lot of coaches that used to do that regularly, Chewy, but I think we're living in a different day and age. And I think that if you were to ask old time coaches, they would have the attitude that you did and say, you know, that's perfectly acceptable. But I think if you ask players how they feel about that, they would say that that's perfectly unacceptable and it's not right. Yeah. And what if Amari DiMarcato did that to Jonathan Gannon? What if he did that to Jonathan Gannon? He'd be fired.
Mm-hmm.
He'd lose his gut.
Yeah.
So why is Jonathan Gannon allowed to contact? And I still don't know exactly. Like, we've seen the video. It certainly seems like he made contact with him. Right? And so...
Yeah.
I just don't think you can do that in this day and age. I just don't think you can do that. Like, by the way, I had the Cardinals in one of my Survivor picks with my brother-in-law. I felt like doing that to Amari DiMarcato. Okay, but I'm not...
Whoa. going back to the $250,000 for the bird for Jerry Jones, because you've covered the league for a long time, Adam. I'm sure you've heard a lot of excuses when guys have been fined, when guys have been suspended for a number of different reasons. Where does Jerry Jones saying the bird was accidental, he actually meant to give a thumbs up rank on your list of excuses that players or personnel have given for trying to get out of a fine?
I mean,
it was an accident. He was trying to give a thumbs up. He was just the wrong finger.
Well, he is older. He is older, right? You know, we don't always, or as we get older, we lose control, right?
Yeah.
So of our digits. I understand that.
Sure.
Yeah. I said, this is not the excuse you think it is, Jerry. Now I'm really questioning your cognitive abilities if you're confusing the middle finger for the thumb.
That's I've never heard that before. That's a unique one.
Yeah, no, that's why I thought it was so good. Like, we've heard guys who get suspended for PEDs. Oh, the trainer gave it to me. Oh, I thought I had my doctor's note all squared away and all these different things. But when you get fined $250K for giving the bird, look, it was accidental. Didn't mean to give the bird. Was trying to give a thumbs up. Those are two very, very different meanings. Opposite meanings, you might say.
Is there video out there of Jerry doing that? There must be, right?
There is. I saw a picture.
I have seen the video. He does go from finger to thumbs up relatively quick. But he does go, I mean, it's very obvious. Like, there is one digit up, and then it kind of like, oh, probably shouldn't be doing this. Oh, thumbs up. Thumbs up.
Adam's trying it out.
Hang
He's
loose.
He's testing it out. Like, how in the world? How?
Well, we all used to do that as We all used to do it as kids when we'd give the ring finger and your parents would see it and be, that's not a swear. Not a swear.
Right, but what was the intent? What were you saying in your
head? I wonder
when
where
you threw
the line
the ring
is,
finger?
You know, yeah.
I think owners have to act a certain way or they're gonna, and if there's video and pictures, fine. Okay. And coaches, like, I know what Jonathan Gannon felt like. I know what he felt like. I felt like that too. Okay, but you can't touch another person. Like, what did they teach you in first grade? Hands to yourself, right? And still true today. Hands to yourself. Don't touch anybody.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Just to put a bow on our Jack Kemp conversation, you asked me how he got from the one team to the other. Here's the story. In 1962, NFL quarterback Jack Kemp became the only player to beat the same opponent twice in the same season while playing for two different teams, the San Diego Chargers and the Buffalo Bills. After a week two game where he broke his finger against the New York Titans, the Chargers waived Kemp and the Bills claimed him for $100. Kemp then led the Bills to a 20-3 victory over the Titans in the season finale, making it the second time he was quarterbacking the other teams to losses. How about that? So he defeated them twice. He defeated the Titans twice that year.
Can you text that to me, because I may use some of that on Sunday Countdown?
Absolutely, happy to help.
maybe we can Jack Kemp win the games.
I missed it.
Yeah, he kind of cut out there.
Something about Jack Kemp games?
Maybe we get Jack Kemp highlights from back in 60.
Oh, absolutely. We might have the archive ability to do that. Adam, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Go ahead.
Send me that information if you don't mind, Jim.
I will certainly send it over to you. Happy to help. All right. Adam Schefter joins us each and every week. Good to chat with you, Adam. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
The connection there was a little wonky today.
Everyone's connection has been bad so far.
Yeah, so there's a lot of like
I blame Chewy.
Hiccups and pauses and a couple times.
I blame Josh.
Hey, as long as I'm not getting blamed.
I don't think it's our fault.
Take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on right after this.
Our conversations each and every week with Adam Schefter are brought to you by the Island Resort and Casino. If you're looking for it all in one trip, the Island Resort and Casino has you covered. Championship golf, gaming, spa, dining, and live entertainment all in one epic destination. Book your total experience now, islandresortandcasino.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You got to have a condiment with the bread.
Yeah,
you can't
want some sort of
alone.
Yeah, you want some sort of lubricant with the bread. Yes, that's correct.
Yes,
it's just necessary.
You follow?
Like, you don't just be sitting there eating like pieces of white bread with nothing on it.
Can't be going dry.
Yeah, can't be raw dog and just white bread.
On 94.5 ESPN.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. October 10th is World Mental Health Day, and this year we are saying thank you, therapists, because therapists really help people through some of the more challenging stretches of life. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct. They are fully licensed in the United States, and they are really good at matching people with therapists who work for them. But if you aren't happy with your match, you can switch to a different therapist at any time from one of their tailored recommendations. They've got more than 30,000 therapists. The world's largest online therapy platform has served more than 5 million people globally. World Mental Health Day, it's time to celebrate the therapists who are helping millions of people take that step forward. And if you are ready to do just that, BetterHelp can help you start that journey. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/timeout. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/timeout. How concerned are you, Chew, that Joe Flacco might be able to lead this team to victory? I mean, again, we went into the Browns game thinking that the Packers were going to curb stomp them and didn't exactly work out that way. Are there nerves, even with him having to get up to speed with the offense on a short week?
No. I mean, there's so much to learn. You know, I really don't know how they're going to do it, because obviously at times you got the quarterback's responsible to shift protection on the offensive line. I don't know who's going to do that. There's no way you can pick that up in a week. I mean,
yeah, look.
Limited. And then on top of that, it's just going to have to be a very basic game plan.
All right, we lost Chew
Higgins.
Again.
Yeah, well, we'll work on reconnecting with Chew. But this is, I mean, this wouldn't be the first time that the Packers have even had to face a quarterback coming in on an incredibly short week. I mean, it kind of happened when Baker Mayfield took over for the Rams back in 2022, when Baker was bouncing around to all these different teams. You know, the Packers ended up playing him, and he didn't look like he was quite ready to go in that game. I don't have any concern over Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco's not the reason that the Cleveland Browns won that game. It's not like he lit the team up, because guess what? If he lit the Packers up and was fantastic, he wouldn't have been traded by the Browns. He'd still be the starting quarterback for the Browns.
So Joe Flacco being the quarterback instead of Jake Browning. And by the way, was our guy Clifford the Big Red Dog a possibility here? If they hadn't traded for Joe Flacco, could he have started that game? Anyway, it's besides
the point. He's on the practice squad. I mean, they could elevate him, sure, from the practice squad, but I can't imagine it was an actual possibility.
So it doesn't change your level of concern for the Packers getting a victory this weekend at all?
No, because, I mean, the biggest problem with the Cincinnati Bengals is their defense stinks. Their defense isn't very good. So you should be able to play well offensively. And now the defense played well against Joe Flacco. If they do what they are supposed to do and do it again against Flacco, I think everybody feels good at the end of the week. I just don't think that he is a difference maker, especially on 3 days practice, where I don't think this line should move at all. I don't think your concern as a Packer fan should go up, because this is a desperate move by a desperate franchise.
Josh, do you feel similarly?
Yeah.
As we effort Chew?
I'm zero concerned about Joe Flacco. He was terrible against the Packers. They got in one spot, one opportunity because of an interception. Their offense, you could say, is better in terms of skill players, but their defense is one of the worst in the league. And that was the biggest factor in the Packers losing that game to me.
And the Bengals' offensive line isn't very good either.
No.
So now you're putting somebody who has zero mobility behind
him. Yes, he's a statue. It doesn't make sense. If the Cleveland Browns are going to trade you Joe Flacco, I think they're kind of telling you what they think of him.
I mean, I don't know why they didn't go after someone like Jameis Winston. Like, I honestly would have a little more worry about Jameis. Because Jameis can pull you-know-what out of his behind.
He's frisky.
Yeah, like, you never know what you're going to get with Jameis. Yeah, he's going to give you an opportunity for some turnovers, but he can make some big plays with his arm. He's been able to prove that. And just the randomness and chaotic nature of Jameis Winston could muck up a game where I could get a little bit nervous. I don't feel that way at all about Joe Flacco.
The main issue for the Packers would be Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins down the field. I don't think Joe Flacco is going to have the time to do that, nor the ability for them to, like, run an actual offense.
Well, that's the thing. So you're saying the offensive line is so crappy that he is going to have to get the ball out quickly, which is not going to allow those playmakers to run deep routes.
Right. And so, it's not like they're going to be able to be doing, like, complex plays, like, setting things up.
Because he's gonna, 3 days.
Right.
Correct.
It's going to be a lot of slants, a lot of outs, a lot of, like, quick developing, get the ball out of his hands as soon as humanly possible.
I'm glad that you guys are confident. Look, coming off of the bye, I was confident that they would get their bleep together. Like, I was like, you cannot sit on the loss and the tie and then sit there and be complacent. You know, every guy to a man was focusing on something that they could do better. And I feel like that will show up when they play this weekend. Again, maybe that's me being overly optimistic about the Packers, you know, willingness or interest in getting better. But that's where I stand right now. I said, you know, if you've ever been in that situation where you have to sit between performances and you're like grinding on a bad performance, man, you come out guns a-blazing that next time you take the field. And that's what I expect from the Packers this weekend against whoever is quarterbacking. Go ahead, Gabe.
It is a Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Tony Wendorf and Associates, First Weber Group. They believe in the human side of real estate, faith, family, friends. They move fast, negotiate with confidence, and communicate clearly so their clients win. No matter if it's buying or selling. Get started today, wendorfteam.firstweber.com.